How safe is America? How vulnerable is America to terrorism, especially radical Islamic terrorism, so often cited by candidates and now President Trump, who would have us believe that we have been lulled into a false sense of security by media, ignoring the potential for murder and mayhem in our midst?
Radical Islamic terrorists are determined to strike our homeland, as they did on 9/11, as they did from Boston to Orlando to San Bernardino, and all across Europe. You've seen what happened in Paris and Nice. All over Europe, it's happening. It's gotten to a point where it's not even being reported. And in many cases, the very, very dishonest press doesn't want to report it. They have their reasons, and you understand that.
That's quite an accusation, President Trump speaking before U.S. Central Command on Monday. Hours later, the White House released a list of what it cited as 78 attacks from September 2014 to December 2016 carried out or inspired by the Islamic State that were, in their estimation, underreported. But it's hard to make a credible case for the media underreporting terrorism, especially domestic attacks or in attacks against Western targets. It gets reported all the time. On the other hand, it is very easy to make a case that the U.S. media is really bad at covering attacks that happen in the Muslim world or elsewhere all the time. Karen Greenberg is the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Karen, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Give me a sense of balance here, media coverage, whether it's foreign or domestic.
Well, first of all, some of us would say the media overcovers terrorism because it so intrigues listeners. Peter Bergen, a terrorism expert, did a computer search on the 78 attacks.
These ones that were issued from the White House.
Exactly, and found that there had indeed been 80,000 plus stories on those attacks. And while there were a couple of them that had no reports at all, in general, they were covered sometimes more than 3,000 times per attack. And so the real question you have to ask yourself is, why does this president want to engage in fear-mongering? Because he does. That's the idea of the Muslim ban. That's the idea of issuing this list. And I think the sense of balance here is that for 15 years, the country has built up an intelligence apparatus, a military apparatus, and a law enforcement apparatus that's global and that has succeeded in deterring foreign-directed attacks here.
So, all right. In your opinion, expert opinion, are we appropriately vigilant in the United States,
yes,
or is the president trying to ramp this up beyond what's appropriate?
Yeah, he's trying to ramp up sentiment beyond what's appropriate. We're not talking about taking specific actions in terms of our intelligence capacities, et cetera, et cetera. I believe that he is ramping this up, and I'm not even sure why, exactly what the purpose is here.
Are we chauvinistic? Are we people who,
yes,
care more about one death in the United States and care little about 20,000 deaths in India or Bangladesh?
Or I would say in the West, not just in the United States. This list is about countries and individuals from the West that were affected by terrorism for the most part. There's a much more expansive list if you want to include Muslim countries and countries where the United States may or may not have an interest of one sort or another.
What about white nationalist attacks, domestic radicalism here in the United States from groups, perhaps white supremacists and others?
Yeah, which is growing. Since the end of the pre-election period and after the election, there have been an increase in hate crimes. Some of them have been anti-Semitic crimes, other of that have been racially motivated. And so, yes, we're seeing a growth in that. That is covered, you know, by a different set of experts that covers terrorism, but nobody's
underreported.
And I would say they are tremendously underreported. And the reasons for that are various. One is that terrorism has so captivated the American mindset, you know,
Islamic,
international jihadist, Islamist,
ISIS,
whatever you want to call it.
They're the characters in the movies.
Yeah. And when you think about how many people, and I don't want to be cold about this, but how many people have died of terrorism in the United States since 9/11, which is less than 100, and those who are killed by gun death or by hate crimes or by a variety of other things, violence, you know, not just slipping in the bathtub, the proportion is way off. And it's almost as if, and this is one way to see it, when you think of things like Newtown, where the children were slaughtered, right, and other attacks that are more ideologically motivated, right, that are, you know, racially motivated. When you think about these attacks and you think about the fact that the United States, if you take a step back, seems to be consumed by a new wave of violence all over the country, in every state. And because this is such a hard problem to get our minds around and our policies around, what we've done is to take that which we can name, ISIS, and focused on that as a way of delineating the terror.
We've traded a very complicated, historically contextual violence of America for a simple external violence called jihadism and ISIS.
Yes, and even when we're talking about homegrowns, we've still put it within that international basket of, you know, interpretive analysis. So that's exactly right. And I would say that scholars and journalists are going to have to look more to the totality and to the historic background to this.
Karen Greenberg, Director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Thank you, as always.
Yeah.